right. He's so worthy of our praise. Hallelujah. I can just get lost in that. And, you know, I think we could go for hours and hours and hours just speaking of His goodness and speaking of His mercy and speaking of all He is. Amen. He's so good to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, we've been speaking out of the book of Hebrews, and it's been so good. And I just love studying it, and I love being in it. But tonight, again, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 11. So if you have your Bibles, open to Hebrews chapter 11. And, you know, again, reviewing a little bit, the book of Hebrews was written to the Hebrews, right? So it was Jewish believers who'd come out of Judaism. But here's what's happened is that they came out of Judaism and Jesus was the Messiah, but then pressure started to come in against them to go back under the law and the things that Judaism taught. So in other words, they were coming out of the righteousness that was gained by faith in Jesus and then trying to become righteous on their own. And you think, well, yeah, I mean, I could see that for them. I mean, they had the religious tradition. But for us, it can kind of get to be the same thing. By that, I mean this, is that, okay, Lord, yeah, I'm saved by grace, and I'm so happy about that, Lord, and You saved me, and I love You, and I thank You. But Lord, I don't pray enough. But Lord, I don't fast enough. But Lord, I mean, the pastor said I should read the Bible, and I don't do that enough. And so somehow we get back under the condemnation of works instead of resting and trusting in what Jesus did for us. Should we read the Bible? Absolutely. Should we pray? Absolutely. Should we fast? Well, yeah. But, right? Nobody likes that part. But all of those things are good and they're important. But they don't supersede the fact that the only reason that I'm holy, the only reason that He counts me worthy is because of the blood of Jesus. Amen? And the blood of Jesus, look at this back in chapter 10. It says that the blood of Jesus has freed us from a guilty conscience. So if we've got guilt going in, especially on things that have been in our past, maybe before we came to know Christ, we did things that we're not proud of. You know, that's been many years for me now, but still, I know people who are really into drugs and maybe in doing things in drugs that are really bad. And for them, they got saved, but yeah, you know, but God can't really like me anymore because I did this and it caused this. I've been a drug dealer and I've seen women get into doing things that they shouldn't have done. It was all because I was involved in that. And guilt can come to pressure them. And it may not be that severe for you, but all of us have to apply the blood of Jesus to our minds with those thoughts come up. Right? He said, I didn't say it, He said it. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Anybody in here in Christ Jesus tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, tonight we're going to talk about what pleases God in Hebrews chapter 11. How many want to please God? Anybody? Anybody want to just make Him mad? No, we don't want to do that, right? We don't want to make Him mad. That never turns out well, right? But we want to please God. But so let's go to chapter 11, and I'm going to read verse 1, but we're going to go mainly at the beginning between verses 2 and 6. But in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We talked about that last time. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By what? By faith. Right? You want to, when we get up to heaven and we want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Right? Like some guy said, he said, I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Not, well, you're done. I mean, I want to hear well done. So inflection makes a big difference. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well, if we want that testimony before the Lord, then faith plays a part in that. Faith plays a part in that. I just want to read this definition that I was thinking about today and came up with. It was, faith is trusting everything that God says. Let me say that again. Faith is simply trusting everything that God says. But it doesn't stop there. Trusting everything that God says is correct and then acting accordingly. That seems pretty simple, doesn't it? If God said it, I believe it. But the proof of my believing it is that I'll be acting like what He said. So somebody says, man, I've got great faith, but they're living like the devil. It's not really right. Their faith is not solid because they're not really trusting what God said. Because if you really trust what God said, if He said it's bad to lie, and you trust that, you're not going to lie. Why? Not because you don't want to displease God? No, because I believe God, and God said not to do it. And if He said not to do it, I believe it, and so I'm going to act out my faith by not doing it. Right? And you can put anything in there. Lying, stealing, cheating, gossiping, you know, anything we can throw in there. If our faith is active and alive, we won't do it because we trust that God said it. And if God said it, it's right. And if it's right, that's how I'm going to live my life out. The Bible says, and we've read it over and over again, that the just shall live by faith. And sometimes we get that, yes, bless God, I'm living my faith life out. I'm believing God for this, and I'm believing God for that, and I'm, you know, and look at me, my faith brought me this, and my faith did this, and I've got great faith. And it's like, no, maybe not so much. Because if you're living out your faith, you're living out the trust that what God said is right. And if you're living that out, then you're not going to walk in pride. You're going to humble yourself before God. Does that make sense? So in seeing that, I want to bring that into the next couple of verses, that definition. Again, I'll read it one more time. Faith is trusting everything God says is correct and acting accordingly. All right, let's go to verse 4. It says this. Oh, I got to read verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things that are visible. By faith we trust that in Genesis chapter 1 it said, and God said, and it was. And we have to trust that, right? And we act and believe that that's true. So everything else from the beginning to the end of the book has to go back to us believing that that's a fact. That's what He said. God created everything by saying something. And again, faith in the heart causes the mouth to say something. Faith in the heart causes the mouth to say something. What does it cause the mouth to say? It causes the mouth to say, this is what God said. And so therefore, that's what I believe. And if God said it, and I believe it, then my life is going to be lived as a result of it. Does that make sense? Right? It's kind of simple, but it's profound in a way. Verse 4 says, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it being dead still speaks. And let's go back to read this out of Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Hallelujah. See, sometimes, and I think that there are formulas in the Word of God. I think that there are some things that you can make a pattern of, but whenever we elevate the pattern over God or over the Word of God, it becomes an issue. And so even though we know certain things, it's like I still have to boil it back down to that I trust God for everything. Right? In other words, it's like in Mark chapter 11, it says, have faith in God. For verily, verily, I say unto you, whoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever things he saith. Therefore, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Awesome. Really? Really? Yes. But you have to go back again to when Jesus was talking about it. He said, have faith in God. See, you can say all you want, but if it's not based on your faith and trust that he said what he said and that what he said is right and you're acting according to it, then you're not in a position to speak to the mountain. Right? Does that make sense? And it's not works. It's not a works thing. It's just a trust thing. So, Genesis chapter 4. Now, let's read the story. It says, verse 1, and now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I've acquired a man from the Lord. And she bore again, and this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was the keeper of the sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. But Abel also brought the firstborn flock of his flock and their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. What was the difference? I mean, it's not explicitly clear, but I think the difference was that Cain brought his sense of offering because it was the thing to do. Right? It was the thing to do. But Abel brought his offering because he loved God. And he wanted to offer something to God. And see, it was an offering from the heart and not an offering from duty. Well, we were singing just a minute ago, and I've been so guilty of it so many times, where it's easy to begin to sing a song, and you go, well, especially being up here, and, you know, if I screw up, everybody knows it, right? But it's like, I can get into, well, I've got to do this right, I've got to keep that right, I've got to sing the words correctly, I've got to, and get away from, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice, I want to worship you. You see, it's from the heart. I'm not just singing the words that somebody else wrote. It's a sacrifice from my heart because I love God and I want to worship Him from my heart, not from my duty. So faith comes by the relationship that you have with God, and what you do out of that relationship is based on the fact that you trust Him, that when He said He loves you, He loves you. When He said that you were born again and you could come into His presence, you trusted that. There are verses that just, you know, again, throw me for a loop sometimes. But let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11. Like there's one in Hebrews, I believe it's chapter 5, and it says, by the blood of Jesus, we can come into the throne of boldly, enter in boldly to the throne of grace and find help in your time of need. Have you ever thought about this? Have you ever thought about if I really did go into the presence of God? Have you ever thought about it? I mean, that would be just awesome. That's God up on the throne. And we've tasted a little bit of His presence here, but the place would radiate His presence. And walking up before the throne, it would be like, oh my God. It happened over and over again. Like Isaiah said, when King Uzziah died, he went, was taken up into heaven and went before the throne of God. And it said that he was like, oh my God, I'm going to die. This is too holy. This is too, right? And so in my old thinking and in my flesh, for me to come before the presence of God, I have to trust when He said that I could come boldly. Now, that just doesn't even make sense to me from my mindset. If I can come at all, I should come meekly, mildly. But no, the word boldly there means confidently. And confidence is based on that you belong there. And you belong there because He said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on Him should not perish but have eternal life. He said, I didn't come in the world to condemn the world, but I came into the world that so through Jesus you might have that life. And that life is what gives us access to the throne. So faith says, even if my noodle can't comprehend it, I'm going to trust that it's true. And so when I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, it doesn't matter how I feel, doesn't matter my circumstances, I believe I'm right before your throne of grace. And you told me to come, and you said I'd find help. So I'm trusting that. I'm relying upon that. So then the promises of God start to take on a different light. It's like, oh, I just got to believe, I got to believe, I got to believe, I got to believe, I got to believe. Oh, God, if I just believed more, if I just prayed more, if I just... I think growing in faith and growing your prayer life, getting better and all that, that's good. But you have to come back to the simple truth of He loves me because He's love. And I can't do anything to gain it. But all I can do is act, trusting that it's true. And I can guarantee you tonight it is. I can guarantee you tonight it is. I can guarantee you tonight that I can come and you can come boldly before the throne of grace to find help in a time of need, because the blood of Jesus purchased that for you. Right? So it's by faith. I just trust that. And I just act like that. How many have ever, you've been saved for a while, you've been walking with God, and you mess up. And then maybe you mess up again. And then maybe you mess up again. And pretty soon it's like, oh God, I can't tell you I'm sorry one more time because I just keep doing it. Right? And so fear comes in, and the fear is this, that I've been so bad that God can't possibly want me now. Right? Have you ever been there? Have you ever had any linking like that? And you have to go back and trust this verse. Because in 1 John, John said, listen, if anybody says they haven't sinned, you're a liar. You know, just right out there, forget it. We're all in the same boat. We're all messed up. We've all lied. He said, but when you come before Him and ask for forgiveness, He's faithful and He's just to forgive us of all of our sins. That doesn't say all of our sin the first time, or all of our sin the second time, or all of our sin the third time, or all of our sin the 100th time. It says all of our sin. And not only that, He's faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins. It goes on to say, and to cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. We may still, our mind may be still feeling the guilt, but from God's perspective, once you've come into His presence and asked for forgiveness, you're washed. You're clean. You're free. But you have to trust that. And then trusting that, you have to start walking out like, I don't care how I feel. I know that I know that I know that I'm right with God because I've asked for His forgiveness. That's so powerful. That's so awesome. Why? Because then I don't have to go, well, I'd go witness, but I'm not holy enough to witness. Or I'd go pray for somebody, but I better call pastor because he's holier than I am. You know, that's a lie. Did you know that's a lie? Why is that a lie? Because my holiness and your holiness on our own is nothing but filthy rags before the Lord. But it's the holiness that He imputed to us when He took our place on the cross. And that holiness is given to each one of us the same. Woo! Glory to God. So I have to act like that's true. I have to act like that's true. Amen. And take my authority. All right, back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. It says, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. Before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. You know, I've had words of prophecy over me before. And, you know, a lot of personal prophecy is great. I love it. But oftentimes it's kind of like, you know, okay, right? But I've had people say this to me, and under the anointing, they said, well, God loves you, and He's proud of you, and He's... And I'm just thinking, how can that be? See, I know me. I wake up in the morning with me. I go to bed at night with me, right? I know what I've done, where I've been, the thoughts that have run through my head. I know, how could God be proud of me? Because I think in myself, I haven't done enough. I haven't been enough. I haven't, you know, done everything that I should do. So I'm going, God, how could you be proud of me? How could you be pleased with me? And the answer is found in the next verse, in verse 6. It says, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So Enoch pleased Him, and the testimony was that he pleased God. How did he please Him? Because he trusted that what he said was true. And when he said it, and he knew it was his truth, then he walked and acted like it was true. Enoch, come walk with me, okay? Enoch, you could come walk with me. Oh, but Lord, you know, I'm a man. I'm under sin. Adam was my great-great-grandpappy, and you know, he sinned, and everybody is sin. I mean, we're all, you know, messed up. Enoch, come walk. Okay. Okay. I trust that you are bidding me to come to you, and I'm coming. Whew. So that pleased God. That pleased God. For us, sometimes it's simply coming before Him and saying, Lord, I love you. And I only love you because you first loved me. But you said you loved me, and I'm going to act like you really do. I'm going to act like you really said that I'm forgiven. I'm going to start acting like, just acting like I'm clean before you. I'm going to start living my life like God hears my prayers. How does that make a difference? Well, if you're with somebody and they have a need, you know, maybe it's a non-believer, and you say, can I pray for you? And you pray for them with this trust of knowing, that's your faith in operation, knowing that when you hold their hand, the anointing of God is with you and is on you. And that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So instead of coming with, well, I'll pray for you, but I don't know if it's going to do any good or not. Or I'm going to pray for you, God bless so-and-so. No, you have to have more trust than that. You have to trust that the Holy Spirit is in you. And when He speaks to you, or you have the opportunity to pray for somebody else, His anointing is going to flow through you. And come on, His power is there to back up His anointing. Isn't that awesome? But you have to live that out. You have to trust that. You have to walk like that. So it's like wake up in the morning. Lord, I don't know what's going to come today, but if you put somebody before me, I'm here. But you see, fear would go, well, so what? Who are you? You don't think God's going to listen to you, do you? No, maybe you can get him to come to church and pastor because he's holy. He can pray for him or her. And see, that's exactly where the enemy wants to keep you. But if you want to please God, you have to believe that he's called you righteous, that he's called you holy, that he said that the believers can lay hands on the sick and they recover, that he said that your prayers are effective. Hallelujah. I'll tell you a story. My sister called me because one of her best friend's mom was passing away. She'd had stuff done with her heart over and over again, and they'd done all that they could do, and the heart that she had, I don't know if it was a transplant or something else was going on, it was just done. It was toast. She was going to die. And I said, would you come to the hospital? I said, yes. Yes, absolutely. But on the way there, I said, Lord, I'm going to the hospital as my sister's brother and as Kathy's friend. But more than that, I'm going as your ambassador. So I just trust that when I get to the hospital room and I walk into the hospital room, that you're going to be with me. And that you're going to speak through me. And that you're going to do what you want to do through me in that hospital room. I'm going as your minister. Right? So I get to the hospital, and like happens sometimes, they were in there cleaning her up or whatever. So we're just standing in the hall and there's chit-chat going on. But I just have the sense that I'm on a divine mission. So I finally get into the hospital room. And there's Kathy and her mom and a friend of theirs who happened to be a Mormon. She was over from Yakima or something. And my two sisters and myself in the room. And we chit-chat and went on all this. And finally, it was my turn, right, to come in. And I asked Kathy's mom, can I pray with you? She said, I'd love that. And I just had this sense of, I didn't see them. Didn't, you know, hear the sounds or feathers coming down or anything, but I knew there were angels in the room. And I just began to declare out of my spirit what God was telling me and speaking to her, and it was like it was shooting into her, and the presence of God came in the room. It was really powerful, very powerful. Why? Because I'm anointed? Yes, but not because I'm a pastor. Because I'm a believer, right? Just because I'm a child of God. Because I believe that when I go into those situations, he's with me. And over the years, over and over and over and over and over again, I'm surprised what comes out of my mouth. In a good way, in a good way. I'm surprised what comes out of my mouth. But it's the anointing of the Lord. And that's with all of us. So the just who trust that God said what he said will live their lives out of that trust. And that's what Enoch did. And when Enoch did it, it pleased God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And most of you know, I went to Rhema Bible Training Center, Word of Faith. I'm still Word of Faith. I love the message. I love the training I got at Rhema Bible Training Center. Best place in the world as far as I'm concerned. But sometimes we can get into the formula and forget the presence. Here's the ABCs of faith. And this is the five steps of prayer. And this is, you know, you want to intercede, do this, this, and this. And there's some principles that are good. But here's the reality. Real faith is that you hear God. You trust what he says. And then you live your life out like it's true. Does that make sense? So what was I doing? I heard the need. I went before God and I said, Lord, you have called me to be your representative. In 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says that we're ambassadors for Christ. And that our job is to, we've been reconciled to God. Our job is to tell others that reconciliation is available, right? But watch this. I'm not the one that has to convince anybody. I'm not the one that has to come in with my superior intellect and sales ability to be able to trick or manipulate somebody to coming into the kingdom. What I need to live out is that I trust God, the Lord, you're putting me in this position, so you're going to be with me. And if you're going to be with me, I don't have to force myself. I don't have to manipulate anybody. I don't even have to convince anybody. I just have to present what you give to me, and the results are up to you. Whew. See, because without faith, it's impossible to please him. Now watch this. The rest of this says, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Must believe that he is. Who is he? He's who he said he was. He's who his word says he is. That's who he is. He is Genesis to Revelation. That's who he is. I believe that's who he is. Because that's who he said. I have his word on it. And I trust his word. Right? That's who he is. And that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And again, you can get into the works on this. Boy, I'm going to diligently seek him. If I seek him enough, if I fast enough, if I pray enough, if I grunt enough, if I strain enough, if I do everything that book told me to do, if I do everything that this told me, then God's obligated to get through to me. And you see, you've just missed the whole boat. The whole boat is, God, you said I could come, and I'm coming. And I trust that as I come, that you'll be there. And watch this. Must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Do you know what this verse says to me? I take it to another verse that says, if you seek him, you'll find him. My reward is not the things that he gives me. My reward is him. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice for to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Come on. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your because I believe that he is, and that he is one who will give to those that are seeking him what they're asking for, I believe that I have his presence with me. And I want to live my life out like that's the reality. All of the other stuff is good, man. I believe for his meeting my needs. I believe for him healing my body. I believe he can deliver me from the influences of the devil and things that are trying to linger on. I believe all of that, and that's great. And we should trust God with that. But the reality, if we're seeking those things and not seeking the God who's behind all those things can be a Cain offering instead of an Abel offering. Does that make sense? It's so good. He's so faithful. Verse 6 again, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. How many believe that he is? Come on. So you've come to God and you believe that he is. But do you believe that when you come to him, that you found him, whether you feel it or not? Right? Do you really believe, like it says, knock and the door will be opened to you? Ask and He will give to you. He said, seek and you will find. Do you really believe that? I can tell you how you believe that, or if you believe that, is are you rejoicing in the seeking, or are you only rejoicing in the finding? In other words, Lord, would you meet this need? Boy, when that money comes in, when my body starts to feel better, then I'll rejoice. See? No. God, you said it, so I trust you in it, and I'm going to live my life like it's so. So I'm going to rejoice now. Lord, if there's suffering in the offering, it's okay. It's okay. I'm not going to try to figure you out, God. I'm just going to trust and believe that you're who you said you were and that you'll do what you said you'd do. How many have ever freaked out or been worried or frustrated about what God wants you to do? Have you ever been frustrated by that? I think every Christian has. But here's the reality. He knows you. Oftentimes, He's already put into your heart the things that He wants you to do. And what I've told people before, you know, they say, well, why are you still pastoring where you're pastoring? Well, because the last thing I heard God say was to pastor and to take this church. And He hasn't told me anything different. And I just believe that He knows my address. He knows my phone number. He knows how to get His message through to me. So I am going to trust that I'm doing what He wants me to do until He tells me something different. And I would encourage you to do the same. So, Lord, I'm open. If you tell me to do something, I'll do it. But I'm not going to stress out about what I'm going to do tomorrow because I'm just going to trust you today that I'm doing what you want me to do. And if I'm not, I think that you're big enough to let me know. But we're expecting Him to lower the hammer or give us a bright light or a vision of something. And the reality is, just live your life trusting that God can talk to you and get through to you. I mean, just give you an example of what I'm talking about. Years ago, we were having these meetings. We had young people, and there was prophecy going on. And this one young lady came up to me, and she was kind of tormented. She said, well, you know, I got this prophecy that I'm supposed to be an evangelist, and I'm supposed to do this, and I'm supposed to do that, and you know, I don't want to mess God. And I said, what do you want to do? Well, I want to become a nurse. That's in my heart to do. I want to help people by being a nurse. I said, forget the other. Just go do what God's put in your heart, not what somebody else is telling you to do. Right? Rest in that. Don't get... Because see, here's the deal. The Holy Spirit leads. The devil drives. In other words, He's going to put you in a position where you feel so much pressure that you know. And that's never God. That's never God. But the Holy Spirit will lead you. I'm not saying He's going to lead you from ease to ease to ease. You might have to walk through things. But when you know that God has spoken to you, then you can do whatever's put before you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why? Because I just believe God. I believe that He is. I believe He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I believe that if I seek Him, I'll find Him. Lord, I believe that if I ask You for wisdom, I have the wisdom because You give liberally and You upbraid not. Lord, I'm not going to be one that stresses over whether You're going to answer my prayer because I believe Your Word and I trust in Your Word and I'm just going to act like Your Word is true. Does this make sense to anybody? Is this helping anybody? Right? Come on. So, you are not to be led or live your life by somebody else's faith or by somebody else's expectation on your faith. God, are you in a relationship with God? Are you like Enoch? Did you walk with God? He loves you. He trusts you. Just begin to live your life by trusting that what God said is true. And as you're reading the Word of God and there's something in it that you go, oh, I'm not doing that. I better do that. Why? Because I'm trusting that what God said is true. And if it's what He said, then it's the best thing for me to do. So I'm going to do it. I'm just going to walk in that. Not because my church told me to, not because somebody else is pressuring me to, but because I know that God said it. That's what walking by faith is. Now let's go on. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. I know he's probably not politically correct right now, but years ago, Bill Cosby had this album, and it was about Noah. And it went something like this, and I won't do it justice, but he went, you know, God's talking to Noah. He says, Noah, yeah, God, build a boat. What's a boat? Never seen a boat before. Why do I need a boat? Because it's going to rain. What's rain? Never seen rain before. Right? And on, he just obeyed. He said, God, okay. You gave me the dimensions. You told me how to build it. I'm going to just start. And it took him years to complete this boat. No rain. Up to that point on the earth had been watered from the mist of the ground, from the ground up. It hadn't come down in rain at all. And can you imagine all the people around? Moses, I mean, Noah, what you doing? I'm building a boat. What's a boat? You know? And what's why are you building a boat? Because it's going to rain. What's rain? Being ridiculed the whole time, but he heard from God. And so he was living out his life because he trusted God had spoken to him. And so he built the boat. Hallelujah. But because he built the boat, because he trusted God, God saved him in the end. How many know we're living in perilous times? Right? I mean, things are weird today. I don't know about you, but I just wake up and read the paper and go, huh? Right? But and if I focus on that, I could be in all kinds of turmoil, right? But I refuse to. What if I wake up in the morning? Thank you, Lord. This is the day that you've made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it because you're with me. You know, I prepare. I do things like you know, try to prepare so that next year, the year after, and everything, that things will be taken care of. But I don't worry about it at all. Well, what if this happens? What if that happens? What? I care, but I trust that God will be with me. Well, what if a famine comes and you don't have any food and you die? Oh, happy days, right? I mean, because I trust that what He said. First of all, He's never going to leave me nor forsake me. He'll take care of me. But on the bottom line is that I'm with Him, He's with me, and I'm going to be with Him forever. So just think about Noah for a little bit. Go to verse 8. It says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of to the place which he would receive an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. See, God spoke to him. It probably didn't make any sense to him. Because he was living in a city, and it was a pretty advanced city at the time. It you know, had everything that was needed in that city. But God said, go. But because he heard God's voice and he trusted God's voice, he went. So his living by faith is just acting like what God said is true. And he went because of that. Verse 9 says, and by faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob and their heirs of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. In other words, he saw what God called him to do on earth, but he had an expectation of something even higher than that, because he'd known God and that God was going to be with him. And through his heir, God was going to redeem mankind, right? So what am I telling you? What is the practical thing that I'm trying to get through to you tonight? Is that we read about these stories, don't just read them like, yeah, man, Abraham was cool. Isaac was cool. Sarah, she was cool. I mean, all of these people. I mean, Samson, he was cool. Noah, he was cool. Enoch, man, I mean, I would have loved to have been like John the Baptist. Or I'd have loved to have been, you are. You're just like them. What do you mean? They breathed air. They had to have food. They needed to sleep. They had problems. They made mistakes. You are just like them. What could be the difference between me and them? Simply that they heard God, they trusted God, and they lived their life like what God said was true. So the more that we can simply do that, our book is written in heaven, and there's pages being written about you every day. And when you get to heaven, there's going to be a record. Hallelujah. I personally believe, you know, some people say, I don't want to go before God. Everything I've done, good and bad, is going to go before Him. See, everything that you've done bad has already been taken care of. So everything that you've done good is going to be presented. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm not afraid of dying, because I trust that He said that I have eternal life. Amen? So living by faith is trusting in what God said and then living your life like it's true. Amen? Did you get something tonight? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your Word tonight. I thank You for all of those who are watching online. And I thank You for the influence that You've given us over the internet, Lord, and all those who are partaking right now. And Father, I just speak to those who are overcome with guilt, condemnation, stress, that they would understand that You're with them in a real way. And that, Lord, that they can trust that You've already taken care of everything that needs to be taken care of. You are their provider. You're their healer. You're their peace. You're their joy. And Lord, I just come against every demonic influence that's trying to keep Your people captive. And I just command You to take Your hands off of God's people right now, in this room and over the internet. In Jesus' name, we will not walk in fear, because we trust Him who said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God, I thank You for blessing the people who are watching online. If there's any that don't know You, Lord, I pray that You'd reveal Yourself to them. And if you've never made Jesus the Lord by surrendering your life completely to Him, do that right now. You can do it right where you are. You can kneel on the floor. You can sit in your chair. It doesn't matter. What matters is your heart is going toward God. And the moment that you do that and ask Jesus to be Lord of your life, He will come to you. Father, I thank You for sealing that in their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, 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 amen. Thank You for joining us. God bless you.